Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Hello. Happy winter. It is a nice, cold, wintry evening, the perfect time to have a really hot show here as January is already coming to an end. Can you believe it? We have one more week of January, and the first month of 2019 is already gone. Well, I just want you to know that for February, for Black History Month, and for Women's History Month, we have some amazing shows coming forward for everybody. They're going to be jam-packed with some supreme goodness, and I can't wait to share them with you. But for now, tonight's show, once again, came up in a conversation with my dear love, Nakia Lawson, who's my co-host here tonight. Hey, Nakia!
Hello, hello!
Yeah, Nakia Lawson.
Can you hear me?
No one... Yeah, we can hear you. I'm just trying to do a little intro on you. I can hear you. Nakia is in Texas, and Nakia is this veteran, amazing doula who does mentorship, business coaching, doula training. She's just everything. And once again, she and I had a conversation, and if you guys could ever be privy to our private conversations, you would die. But anyway, out of the conversation came the show tonight, and we're talking about doula training. I've been out here now. Could you believe it, guys? This year, 2019, will be 5 years already that I've been out here in the doula world. A dip in a bucket for Nakia, because Nakia's been out here for God knows how long. And I,
23.
You know, I have been, okay. Double digits, okay? and hundreds of births Nakia has supported. But, you know, this conversation tonight, we're really talking about this education factor. And what doulas are doing and what's happening out here and how you can navigate it to get the most bang for your buck. Now, Nakia has done training in Europe. She's done training all over the place with some renowned business coaches and everything. I have tons of experience as well as far as, you know, step back, check your economy, check with the, you know, we're going to go through all of this stuff. We're going to have a really good time with that. Anyway, people, go to the Facebook group page. There's an event page for this tonight. If you have any questions or comments, the event page is exactly the same as the title. The event page on Facebook is Let's Talk About Doula Training. Why are you taking that? That's the event page. The call-in number is 323-870-3891. It's 323-870-3891. Nakia, would you believe there's some doulas that are having listening parties to our shows now, just so you know?
That is exciting. I'm so excited. I think I heard someone else chatting on Facebook and saying, oh, let's have a listening party. And I think that's awesome for everyone out there who is listening and who is interested in this topic, who is interested in becoming a doula, looking for a training, already taking a training, wanting to take additional training, taking multiple trainings. I mean, you name it, let's have doula training.
Oh, yeah. So let's jump right in, Nakia, and let's talk about doula training. Now, you and I had a really in-depth, really good conversation about this, so I know you have excellent recall, so we're going to have a really good show with all of this. What is your feeling about doula trainings, Nakia? And just break it down for us, please. What is the big deal? What is it?
So, you know, and I'm speaking – you know, as a trainer, and I'm speaking as a trainer for one of the larger doula organizations in existence right now, which is Donor International, and I speak to the idea when I talk to individuals who are interested in becoming a doula about why it's important to consider who they're training with. And I say that because so many times you find that individuals will say, oh, I want to become a doula, and they'll do a Google search. How to become a doula. And they'll find that whoever has the best SEO, search engine optimization skills, or whoever has put in the money to have their business or their training put at the top of the search engine, that's what the person clicks on and assumes that, okay, that's what I'm going to go with. So what I always encourage is, you know, doing due diligence and doing research is not the same as doing a Google search. So when you do the research, you're actually looking for an organization that fits, one, your philosophy of thinking. You're looking for an organization that, two, fits your budget. For an organization that, three, has engagement in multiple areas and not just one area. Four, that has a brand that you will continue to represent even after you've been trained and or certified in that organization. But I always encourage people, definitely don't do it online. And I have my very strong opinions about online doula training. I have very strong opinions about doula trainings that are developed and established by one individual. And so that speaks to why I do what I do and how I do it as a doula trainer. So part of that is looking at, hold on just a second, can you bring me some water? Thank you. Part of that is looking at the fact that when an individual takes a doula training from one of the 83 different training opportunities that they could take on right now, they're getting one person's perspective. When they train with an organization, they're getting several individuals who come together to create a curriculum that has been reviewed and re-reviewed and updated as time and situations change, and that's the way they've established the network. That's the way they've established the curriculum. That's the way they've established the information that's being shared. Not one person's perspective, created a handful of modules, put it in an online training program, and then next thing you know, we have, you know, buck tussle doula training, and it's being offered in 16 different languages on the internet for $495, and it doesn't teach the individual how to doula. It doesn't teach them the scope of practice of doulaing. Now, not all of them are the same, and I've not taken them all, so to be able to say that across the board, requires hands-on service skills. How is it that an individual can literally take a doula training online and not having interacted with the person, the family, to engage or to have an actual trainer to bounce things off of when they're looking at modules? The majority of the people who I've met who've taken online doula training do not have someone that they can continue to grow from as it relates to the material that they're learning. They just have a handful of modules. They do it on the internet in their own time and space, a home study course. They send in a few Q&A answers, and they get a document saying you're certified as a doula. And that is really scary when it comes to an industry that is impacting lives, when women are dying as a result of childbirth, when babies are dying as a result of childbirth. You have individuals who have taken 8 modules of information that one individual came up with based on their perspective and their philosophy of birth and created an entire training, and someone who did some Google search instead of due diligence and research is learning that content and calling themselves a certified doula. That's a scary thought for me in this industry where, again, we're seeing people die. That is how serious it is. And we're lacking cultural competency. We're lacking implicit bias training. We're lacking all of these necessary layers of what it takes to be able to serve comprehensively to make sure that we're having healthy mom, healthy baby outcomes.
Absolutely. And I want to back up for a minute. Nakia, it was a lot, but it was also necessary, and it does set the foundation for our discussion here tonight. Once again, you can call in. We have a lot of callers in the queue already. The call-in number is 323-870-3891. That's 323-870-3891. I'm also posting the link again in the event page here on Facebook for people who are trying to get on to the show to hear everything. I am posting the link once again. I want to back up for a minute because if there's one thing that I did learn when I went to grad school and went through college there is there are different types of learners, okay?
True.
And not everyone is capable or feels comfortable or really can absorb the information long distance online. Now, for example, I'll be very frank with all of you. I am not the best online learner. I need to sit my behind in a classroom behind a desk and look ahead at the instructor and do what I have to do, take my notes and, you know, I make pictures while I learn, while I'm listening to the lecture, because those images stick in my head. What I'm trying to say is there are different types of learners. We are all not the same learner. And if you haven't learned that, then I hope some of you who are raising high school children, you're getting exactly what I'm saying. Because our education system in this country is one size fits everybody. Meanwhile, a lot of people are very unique in how they learn. So when Nakia says, you know, she's definitely not for long-distance learning, here's what I say to that. If you are in a very remote rural area and this is the way you're going to get your foot in the door, fine. But continue to do the diligence and back it up by going to a hospital, volunteering, being in the environment that you're going to be supporting in, even if you turn into a remote doula, okay? It's still good to have that knowledge under your belt. So the important thing that I want people to really understand with this conversation is really getting to know who you are as a learner. What kind of learner are you? Are you a person who has to hear everything in your native language first? Do you learn in your native language in your brain and then you translate it back out to English? Do you learn by drawing pictures or having something in your hand? Are you a tactile learner? Are you a lector? Are you a verbal learner? Are you a person who has to see the blackboard and see things? Are you visual? What type of learner are you? And that's also going to be a big help when it comes to getting your workshops and getting your education under your belt, because you may take a workshop that is taught in, or delivered rather, or presented rather, in such a way that is not going to sink in well enough for you to absorb this information. So please keep that in mind. What kind of learner are you? So
I love the way you put that out there. Yeah, I love the way you put that out there, because you do have people say, well, Nakia, what about the person who's in the remote area and she can't get to a training? Then again, my issue with the online training are those individuals who have one person who creates that particular training without having an interaction of other individuals who helps shape the concept of the content, along with the fact that our industry is comfort, education, information, and support, guiding a family through their birth journey before, during, and immediate postpartum. How that happens and you're not physically able to learn those techniques is just a situation that baffles me. And I guess that's probably why I'm so one-sided about in-person training, because when it boils down to Donor International, we have accessibility so that individuals can train literally anywhere in the world. And there's a trainer who can meet the need of an individual pretty much anywhere in the world. I mean, I've just facilitated my first international training. There are trainers with Donor International who go to international locations annually to offer trainings. And so when you have an organization that has 5,000 members and you have an organization that has, you know, a following as large as Donor International, it opens up the opportunity so that those in-person trainings can be facilitated. For those individuals who do them online, also the mentorship that is non-existent for a lot of them is another concern that brings me to some of the situations that have come up with the women who have reached out to me about getting an in-person training. I talk to women in different parts of the country who have had to resort to online trainings because they're in such a remote area, and the content that they're learning does not match up with the concept of doula care. And again, they're getting this information. They don't have anyone to bounce it off of to understand that's not what doulas do. So I find that, and I can say that about some in-person trainings too. It's the trainer as well as the trainee. That people will actually attend, and it boils down to, well, baby, that's not what doulas do. So I've talked to different doulas who've taken training, and they find themselves writing birth plans for their clients. That's not what doulas do. Why would your trainer tell you that? there are trainings where individuals have taken them, and the doula trainer has suggested that they work for free to get experience.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
Volunteer their services. again,
we'll talk
not
about
necessarily
that in a minute.
Something that I would encourage or recommend, but that's what the information that they're getting. So these are some of the questions and concerns that I have when people come to me specifically about their training. I've had individuals who have said that I took a training that focused on advocating for my client, and that advocacy meant that they were actually in the delivery room arguing with the provider to make sure that the mom got her wishes for her birth experience, rather than preparing that family, understanding her resources in her community to guide that family to the environment where they can have the birth of their choice. The goal is to go in and battle, and the doula is speaking on behalf of the parents and being confrontational with the clinical staff that's providing care for the moms, or telling the moms how they should or shouldn't be combative to get the birth of their choice, when, again, that's not what doulas do. But depending on who the trainer is, what organization standards of practice are represented, and how it is that the training gets facilitated, then that just kind of creates a situation. That creates a situation where they can't necessarily get the proper training that they need. And it speaks to everybody. It speaks to everybody in every organization, every individual training that's out there. We all have to think about what message are we sending to our community of interested doulas when they don't even have a clue of what a doula does and how a doula does it.
That's right. And what I want to back up also, too, and get you all to understand is that there are several different entities or styles of doula programs that exist out here.
Yes.
And as Nakia alluded to before, you really have to get a really good understanding of yourself in order to know exactly what it is that you're going to need. And I have said this on many, many shows with Nakia over the years we've done this so far. This is actually our second year, if not third year, doing this together. And I have taken doula trainings not only with Donna. I've taken doula trainings with Pro Doula. I've taken doula trainings with Matrona. And I've taken doula trainings with Ancient Song Doula Services. And that is the baseline of doula training. I'm not talking about the specialty skills, and we'll talk about that in a minute also. But I took those trainings because I knew what I needed as part of my doula foundation. I needed
right.
the sound foundation of the most longest and most well-known doula organization in the world, and that is Donna. I needed the blackness of my ethnicity to validate that I can see the images and I can be in this environment, and that was Ancient Song Doula Services.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, yeah, we sat on the floor for 2 days, and we did this training. And it has grown and has evolved since I've taken it several years ago. And then I took Matrona, because Matrona's training really goes into the spirituality of birth, and that validated my spiritual practice and my heritage of being a Southern-raised maternal health healer. That's my family lineage.
Right.
So that gave me that validation. And then I went in and I took Pro Doula because I really wanted to learn more of the business acumen that would help me. So it's important for you as a doula to decide on how you're going to approach your doula training. And that's why it's so important to reach out and do diligence. Go to the web pages of DONA, DTI, all the ones I've named, all of them, as a matter of fact. Go to the web pages and look at their mission statement, look at their vision statement, look at their purpose. DONA even has their ethics and their policies up, you know, for you to see. This is what we do. This is how we carry ourselves as a doula. This is what a doula does, okay? And a doula does not become combative in the birth room. A doula does not prescribe, you know, all of these herbs and different things for a mom. You know, there's lines that we have to maintain and boundaries. And those are done for a reason. So I think it's really, really important that if you're going to do your doula work and your doula training, that you understand that as you grow and evolve, so will your practice and so will your reach for education. I did not take all four of these doula trainings the first year I came out the gate as a doula. No.
Right.
I took them in several years as I grew into my doula practice. So here's what I'm trying to say to you, and Nikki and I talk about this all the time. We have doulas who run out here into the profession, and they take as many trainings as they can. I'll take this, I'll take this, I'll take this, I'll take this. They've got all kind of letters after their name, okay? And meanwhile, they may serve 2% of that population they took the training for. Meanwhile, they may not serve any of that population. They just took the training. How are you utilizing the education that you have obtained? And that's what the next thing that Nikki and I are going to talk about. Because this is where the whole thing of the doula in training, the low-cost doula, this is where we're going to talk about this. So, Nikia,
Before we talk about that, let me add something to what you just said, because it's really, really powerful what you're saying about all the different trainings that you've taken and over the time and you know, in your growth and in your development as a doula, how you continue to add on. I think that's an awesome, awesome option for a lot of doulas who embrace the idea of learning more, gleaning more, getting more opportunities to expand on their skill sets. However, for someone like me, my doula training was enough. The one organization that I went to was enough for me to gain what I needed to do to become a doula. I stepped out of the birth industry to get everything else. So when I wanted more business, I didn't go to a doula training that focused on business. I went to a business training and got business training.
Okay.
I spent a whole year in a business academy. When, you know, I wanted to consider the spiritual aspects of birth, I didn't necessarily go to a spiritual, and don't get me wrong, I do want to attend the Madrona because I just think YPO is amazing, and I do believe that her training
is
amazing. I want to participate. Definitely. So I definitely plan on registering for hers. But in terms of spirituality, a person has to know who they are from a spiritual perspective and understand their own spirituality and include that as a part of their doula skill sets rather than going and taking a spirituality-based doula training. Same thing when it comes to inclusivity. There are trainings focused on, and I believe DTI has a comprehensive component in their doula training, working with inclusive families. And so working with LGBTQ families, they have that. So you have to be prepared to speak to language and terminology and being open to the idea of serving an entire community of families with the proper understanding, and that's the direction you want to go. I would have to learn more about the LGBT community before I jumped into a LGBT doula training. So those are the type of things that I encourage individuals to do. Learn more about yourself. Do some self-work, some self-discovery, some self-development. Work on those aspects of self before you start running to different doula trainings. And because what ends up happening is they take a particular doula training and then they blame the training when they don't get what they need. And so you go to a particular training and say, oh, I took a donor training, but I didn't learn anything about business at the donor training. Well, donors organization was established to train individuals on how to become doulas, not business women and business men. That's not what their training did. I took a year-long business academy training because I wanted to learn how to build a business on and offline. That's why I went to become a business coach. I don't think the expectation is fair for the organizations when individuals are looking for a specific thing from a doula training that they should be looking for from a particular trainer that offers that training. So, you know, I wouldn't want to go to yoga class and learn how to do hip-hop. But they offer hip-hop yoga now. So I wouldn't necessarily go to a yoga class thinking, well, damn, where's the hip-hop at the class? You know, that's not what you're going for. You're going for a different perspective if you know what yoga's about. If you know what doula-ing is about, then go to a doula training that fits doula-ing. If you want to go to a doula training with a business component, find that. If you want to go to a doula training with a spiritual component, find that. But know who you are as a person to be able to bring some of that to your training. So that's something that I just wanted to throw out there, because it took me years and years to figure out that I needed to go and learn how to become a businesswoman, even though I had
right.
a doula business. It just correct. The two, I never did correlate the two. So that's something to consider, even if you have the plethora of doula trainings that we have accessible to all of our families and to all of our community of women interested in men interested in becoming a doula. So just consider that.
Right. And I also want to say, too, that for many of us, and I'm speaking a lot of myself, I came into the doula practice, I came into the doula world almost 5 years ago now, and I came in with a master's degree as a medical social worker doing case management for high-risk pregnancies for insurance companies. So I came in with the medical terminology, the hospital exposure, you name it, I did all of that. I also came in with a background where I took a 60-hour business class through my local community, through the Chamber of Commerce, to start up a small business. And
right.
I was able to open my LLC. I was able to understand, you know, what copyrights and things like that were. Pro doula's training gave me the vocabulary and the community of doula work in business. So it kind of fine-tuned a little bit going into
right.
birth work as opposed to just, you know, the generalizing of business. But I came into this field with a master's degree, with my own LLC, that I had already done the work outside of before I came into being a doula. So I say that to many of you out there, because many of you have things in your intellectual closet that you have left untouched and collecting dust for a long time. And I'm asking you to please go into your intellectual cupboard and pull out what you have. You will be astounded at what you have under your belt that you simply have not utilized in a very long time.
Definitely.
So I think that's
Definitely.
Really, really important. So getting back to what we were going to talk about here, the next thing that Nikki and I are talking about, a couple of days ago, well, let me back up a little bit even more. I took my doula training, as you know, with one of the largest doula organizations in the world. And my doula trainer and I have to say, was not the best connection. And that's just what happens with people. You go into a college, you take a class with the professor, you don't always connect with that professor, but you do what you have to do to get through that professor to get on the other side so you can get what you need, and that is your education. So I did not get the mentorship. I did not get the support that I thought that I was going to get. And at the same time, I did not get a full understanding. So what I had to do was I had to back up, come back out, and go back in with friends, with peers that were able to be kind and guide me. And that's literally how I tripped up on Nikia Lawson 4 years ago. But I say all of that because I did not have the knowledge or the savviness. It took time. And I was told once I came out of the doula class, the three-day training, I was not certified yet, but I was told that I had to do my births for free until I was certified. Okay?
No.
And it was a huge egg in the face, and that year that came out a lot on social media. And, you know, the entities that be realized that they're you know, there was a miscommunication there with trainers and stuff saying things like that. But I want to say, if you see a midwife, another doula, a mother, anyone saying, I'm looking for a doula in training, I'm looking for a low-cost doula, I want you to step up and step out and defend this profession, and please correct those instances. There's no such thing as a doula in training. If a mom is looking for a doula under a certain budget cap that she has to identify what she could afford, and a doula is out there ready to accommodate her, literally. Literally. There's a doula for that.
Whether she's
price
seasoned point. Or whether she is brand spanking new out of training, doesn't matter.
Exactly. It does. So there's no
please,
such thing
please
as a doula.
Please let that be known.
We don't go to the airlines and say, hey, can I get a discounted
flight ticket because I want a pilot in training. We don't do that. We don't get a lawyer in training. We don't. There's no such thing. Everyone is coming out of their professional school training, their education, with this knowledge. And what they're now doing is they're honing their skills. And, you know, Nakia, 23 years in, Nakia is still learning something new. I'm sure you are.
Very much so.
You know, almost five years, 113 births coming in as a medical case manager. Of course I'm learning still. So I really am asking for all of you to please, please, please don't let the doula profession be devalued by someone labeling it as a doula in training. If you know doulas who are coming out of their three-day, four-day training class, week-long training class, please uplift them and say, you are ready to get out here and support a mom. And what we have to understand is, as Nikki and I had this wonderful conversation, you don't always have to come into a birth with a bag and a suitcase and a gazillion acumens under your belt. Sometimes all you need to do for that birth is just show the fuck up. Just show up. Mom just needs you there.
Deborah Pascal Ibonaro said it best.
Yes.
I love Deborah Pascal Ibonaro. I did a training with her in Bali.
I'm thinking about selling some jewelry and going to Bali and seeing her. Yes, I want to see her real bad.
I love Deborah and she said they should really call us doulas instead of doulas because we get so caught up on doing stuff that we lose the whole idea of what it means to support a family. And so, and I think that's a part of it as well. You know, you take a four-day training or a five-week training or however long it is you're engaged in this knowledge process, and then you're like, okay, now I got to do something for this family. I got to be involved and do as much as I can to make sure that this mom or this dad or this grandmom or whomever I'm supporting in terms of the network has this amazing birth experience because you have an agenda. So that whole part is what drives and motivates the doula while they're quote unquote training. And so it baffles me when the titles get thrown around. You know, I'm a doula in training if you want to ask me, because I'm still learning. So
exactly. Therefore
someone's teaching me something, but do I label myself that? No, I don't put labels on the work that I do in terms of the hierarchy. I just am confident in my skill set. So I don't have to explain to the next person what in training means to you versus what season means to me versus what the expert means to that person. I stand in confidence in the work that I do, the services that I provide, and the skill sets that I've acquired over the years that I've been working in this profession. And whether it be the person's first birth or a person's 101st birth, there's still an opportunity to learn and grow. The question is, are you gaining that information along the way as you're learning so that you know how to add to your repertoire, to add to your toolbox, to add to your bag of tricks? All of that comes with the more you do. So now going back to that expense thing and how, you know, we put a price on how many births you've done, if you've been, you know, experienced versus, you know, you having no experience. I say it all the time. You shouldn't come out of a doula training charging less than what you paid for the training.
All right. Say that again. Say that again.
That's a good part. Don't start working in this industry and serving for less than what you at least paid to get trained. Because there's
an
expense to your education, to your process, to your training. There's value in that. What you invested in yourself. Because you're
going to
make a lot of sacrifices in this industry. And if you do that for less than you feel the value of what you're doing, you're going to burn out. Now, not everybody feels comfortable. You know, I charge anywhere from $199, well, it was $199, from $299 all the way up to $699 for my training, depending on where I am, depending on how long it is, depending on if it's local, depending on if I have to travel to compensate the expense or whatnot. So anywhere from $299 to $699 is how I have my training price based right now. So what I explain to those individuals who train with me is there's an investment that you're making, true enough, and Don't start adding to the skill sets until you at least recoup this. At least recoup this amount, because you put time, you've made the sacrifice, you've put forth the effort to at least gain something for your skill set. Not to mention, people value what they pay for. People value what they pay for. And so if individuals are getting a low-cost doula because this person doesn't have as much skill set, then how is that going to make you a better doula? Expectation of you is already lower coming through the door because you, quote-unquote, in training. When a person leaves my doula training, they have the skill set to go out and doula. Now, do they have the confidence to charge $400, $500, $600? That's on them. Some of them tell me, Nikki, I don't feel comfortable charging that dollar amount right now. I get it. I encourage them. I motivate them. I mentor them to the point where they feel comfortable putting a price point on their services based on the skill set that they feel comfortable sharing. I get it. And I do believe that the price point should be comparable to the services that you're offering. I get that as well. But then there are also resources that, again, I teach the doulas that I'm training. If you find out the resources in your community, you can connect families with what they need. And so if they're needing someone who fits their price point and they're affordable, then you can find opportunities for those families to get what they need based on what they can afford to pay. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to get someone who doesn't have a lot of experience. I have served families through my personal nonprofit that charges $300, moms on Medicaid, moms in the African-American community, and moms who are delivering at our county hospital. My nonprofit charges $300 for doula care. That's very affordable. Guess what? There are some families that ended up getting Nikia as their doula at that price point. I have years and years of experience, many, many births that I've supported, lots and lots of skill sets. I train for Donor International, so I value myself a lot higher than $300 for the services. However, that's what that person could afford, and I have to stay true to my brand for my particular nonprofit organization, and I provided those services for that family. In December, I did a birth for free of charge, for a mother who needed the support as a courtesy to one of the midwives who reached out and called me and asked me for some support. I don't necessarily have to work for free, but that was a choice for me. But I'm not in training. I'm not a quote-unquote low-cost doula, but I made myself accessible to that particular mom requesting a need. So it's really a personalized journey, but understand that what you get from your training will definitely resonate when you step out there into the birth world, walk into these circles of individuals, open your mouth, and start engaging as a professional doula. It'll definitely
absolutely
resonate.
And I just want to pull it back, too, because, you know, Nikia is out here as a veteran. I mean, she is a leader where people gravitate to her for her leadership skills as well as her years of being exposed in this business and, praise God, not getting burnt out. So I want to pull it back for a minute because I want to remind some of you doulas out here. How many times have you been out and you get the call, the unexpected call, I'm at the hospital, I'm having the baby right now? You get to the hospital and all your doula stuff is at home, locked up, and you don't have access to it right now. You go ahead and you support that birth. Tell me what happens. You end up having an amazing birth. That's my journey on several births, where I was out, all of a sudden I get the call, Denise, they sent me right from the OB's office right to the hospital. I'm having this baby right now. I get to the hospital, throw down my bag, take off my coat, and we're in doula mode. And I didn't have all my props, my Mary Poppins bag of tricks. I didn't have all that with me. But guess what? I had my intellect. I had my thinking cap on. I was in doula mode. And I just pulled out the intuition of skills and the genuine compassion. And I was able to support an amazing birth without all the bells and whistles and props and all kinds of shit that I have in my bag. So I say all of that to you, all of you out there, because there will be a time where you will not have all your stuff with you. And I really and truly do hope that you have the faith to believe that you can still be an awesome doula without all that stuff, without your Rebozo, without your birth ball, without your bolsters, without your Bluetooth speaker, without your oils, without your incense, I truly do hope that you can still jump in and do what you do that you've been called from your heart to do and do it well. So I truly do believe that that is what's in all of us. So that is something I want you to keep in the back of your mind, that it's great that you have all this stuff, but you're going to be called into a birth where it's not even needed. I've dragged this stuff with me to birth and didn't even have a chance to open a single bag because the birth happened.
Now, that has happened. Yes.
And after the birth, you know, I've got smoke, you know, coming out the bottom of my shoes because I was running so fast and running so hard for so long. And I look at my poor bags in the corner, and I didn't even get a chance to open a single bag. Nothing. Just drag it back out home, take it, throw it in the cab, and go back home. So we don't always think that we need all those things. You know, Linus from Charlie Brown that has his blanket all the time, he's got to have that blanket. We as doulas, you don't have to have all those things to be a great doula. All you need is your compassion. You need that intuition and that faith that you are here to support that mom however she needs it. If you just have to sit there and be silent and hold her hand, or if you have to do hip squeezes, knee squeezes, throw her in the shower, walk her up and down the hallway, it could be something as simple as some ice cream. So when we do these doula trainings, it is not because, oh, I can charge a higher price point now. Oh, this will make me a better doula. The work that we do comes from within, and that's the beauty of the practice. Those people who feel like they have to have an acumen of all these other things under their belt in order to be a great doula, that's an insecurity that's coming from somewhere else. But I want to also talk about, quick, what Nikki and I talked about in our private phone conversation. You know, some of these trainings that we go to for either stillborn, bereavement, we have to be very careful that the instructor is not transposing or transferring their experiences, their beliefs on us, as they're trying to do the goodness out of their heart. And we hear it all the time. Oh, I had a really bad birth, so now I'm a doula because what happened to me will never happen to another woman. It's going to happen to another woman, and you will not be able to stop that. I myself personally had a horrible birth with my son 28 years ago as a PCAP Medicaid mom, okay? So horrible that consequently over the years I've had four to six miscarriages. I don't think, you know, I could ever hold another baby because of that trauma. But it took me over 20 years to decide to become a doula. I did not become a doula because I had a traumatic birth experience. I became a doula because I was called from my heart to do this work. And it is also a heritage of my family. My grandmother was a midwife. She was a healer. My mother is a healer. It was just a thing that we did in my family. It's a very matriarchal Southern thing. So I did not become a doula because 28 years ago up at Columbia Presbyterian, I had a really traumatic birth as a Medicaid mom. No, absolutely not. Because I refused to transfer my exposure, my experiences of my personal birth onto my client. I refuse to do that. And that's what I need you to watch out for when you take these trainings. Because some people have really good hearts and really good intentions, but unbeknowing what they're doing is they're transferring their experiences, their feelings, their trauma onto you. And we have to be careful with that. So Nikki and I talked about that.
Yeah, and a lot of that goes back to that self, you know, that self-awareness. You know, how aware are you of yourself as it relates to the work that you're trying to do? And then you have to be sure to check your intention. And, you know, are you walking into this particular situation with an agenda? Because, you know, and I say it over and over again when I'm training and mentoring, it's not about you. As the doula, it's not about you. It's about the client and helping the client meet their own personal needs for their particular experience and their journey. So it's not about, you know, that you thought it should have been this way, or you thought the doctor should have said this or done this or acted a certain, you know, here, there, and the other. That's not even the point. The point of the experience is to empower the family to have the birth of their choice. And that will happen when the doula is comfortable in the space that they're in, and they're not transferring, and that's classic social work 101. Denise and I both have degrees in social work, and so we understand that concept, and we see it so vividly and so clearly when it's happening. I see it when it's happening, and I hear it when I talk to individual doulas who will call me and say, well, this is what happened at a birth, you know, can you help me kind of debrief it? And I'm listening to the situation and understanding, okay, that's a transference thing. Where did you learn that? Or when did you think that that was okay to project that onto your client? Well, that was never addressed in their training at all. And so I constantly am sharing with the doulas that I train that you have to be mindful, and you have to be extremely mindful of what energy that you're putting out there and if it's being transferred onto your client. It's not cool. It's not cool.
We need to get
past that. And then going back to what I was saying earlier about training regarding biases, part of the training that I provide, and especially over the years of developing myself as a trainer and learning more about how it impacts birth outcomes, I make it a point and a priority to make sure that implicit bias is not left out of my training. I want to make sure that those individuals who train with me.
You have to back up, Nikia. You have to explain to our listeners what explicit bias is. Thank you.
Implicit bias is the concept of creating these stereotypes and operating from a place of stereotypical interaction with a group or an individual or a particular type of person. So I'll use the example, mothers on Medicaid, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, or whomever. Mothers on Medicaid, the assumption is that these women are poor, uneducated, and ill-prepared for their birth experience. That's the typical assumption of a Medicaid mom. Oh, she's on Medicaid because she can't afford private insurance. Well, it may not be that she can't afford private insurance. It just may be that it's more affordable to use her Medicaid as primary insurance and her private insurance as secondary insurance so that the opportunity for her to get full care is accessible to her. Or she just may be a mom who cannot afford it at the moment because her job may have downsized. Or she may be pregnant and she's not in her enrollment period for her insurance coverage. There's a lot of reasons why women would choose to be on Medicaid.
Yeah.
And yet there's a certain bias. There's a certain unconscious, sometimes even conscious, ideology or conception that becomes a total misconception, and a person gets treated a certain way because of that. That's that whole individual bias. And that training needs to come across to birth doulas, postpartum doulas, and individuals who are offering their care in this state of being for maternal health to make sure that women are aware of how that impacts their care. If that whole piece is missing from a doula training, that's a disservice to the doula and all the families that doula is going to encounter. It's just a disservice.
Exactly.
Same thing with cultural sensitivity, competency, inclusivity training that are available. If it does not speak to the culture of individuals, then it's missing a piece. If it's whitewashed, as some people would say, oh, that doesn't really speak to the black experience or the Latin experience or the Asian experience or the Native experience, that doesn't speak to our culture of individuals, then if it's going to be specifically for a group, bring in someone who has that particular understanding and let them come in and share what it means to engage and interact, especially if you're serving a particular community of families. If you're just serving in general, then understanding that there's a way that we engage individuals to show them regard, respect, dignity, and just basic human compassion when we regard their culture. That's necessary. And we don't get that as a doula to go into someone's most intimate time of their lives to be a part of the most sacred experience that they could engage in for the most part, for the majority of, and then we have no idea how to respect the culture. That's out of order, in my opinion, from a training perspective. If that is missing,
yes,
then that should be something that needs to be looked at as a result to what it is you're trying to gain from your particular dual training. So these are the things
Absolutely.
That I talk about. These are the things that I think about. These are the things that I regard when it comes to dual training.
Absolutely. And I want to bring it back to what Nakia is saying, because Nakia broke it down for us perfectly, as always. My dual training with my trainer, whom, like I told you, I did not connect with, and I'll be very honest with you, I didn't. I came in as an older woman of color, and she's an older white woman, and she just had some issues with my confidence and my demeanor. Okay? Simple as that. And that's that implicit bias thing. I guess she's not comfortable with that. Her training was completely whitewashed. There wasn't a single diverse image in any of her images, in any of her training for 3 days. I looked at white, blue-eyed kids all for 3 days. And that was it. There was no offer for mentorship. There was no offer for talking about diversity or anything like that. And she really felt that she was doing a good job of it. And, you know, God bless her, I guess for many years that did work. But we are in a different age. We are in a different time where that no longer can prevail. So it's really, really important that you understand that your doula training is not only a reflection of how well you're going to grow, but it is also important that it is inclusive and that it reflects the community. For example, a couple years ago, you know, I went to a Spinning Babies conference. Gail invited me to go, and she specifically asked me to write about what I observed as a woman of color at her Spinning Babies conference. And I did. I came back home, and I wrote how whitewashed it was. I wrote how there's no trainers of color. It's a very white entity. It was a very white event. And, you know, that's where I was. People got very upset. Oh, you can't say that about Gail. She's such a nice person. I'm not saying it about Gail. I'm saying it about her training. I'm saying
right.
that this environment was not representing
right.
the people who attended. And it does not represent the communities that are getting this training. So we have to understand that in order to grow and move forward, that we may have to take some constructive criticism from time to time, and it's completely okay. After I did that, Gail went ahead and created a manifesto, and she incorporated more diverse images in Spinning Babies. I'm not sure if she has a black Spinning Babies trainer yet or not. That's come down to pipe someday, I guess. But that was an eye-opener for her, and that is how a lot of women of color feel when they go into a training, that they're the only chocolate chip in the room, that the images don't represent. All those things are fine for you to recognize and to stay awake and aware on those things, but do not let that deter you from getting that education that you need to grow and move forward.
Most definitely.
So if it's something that you really want to put under your belt as a doula trainer and it's completely whitewashed, go ahead and get your training. Afterwards, you can come back on the other end when it's time to give your evaluation and say all the things you need to say about how it is not diverse, it is not inclusive, and it does not represent the community.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that. When it comes down to evaluating what you're learning, the more honest you are about the evaluation, the more we as trainers can grow, the more we can turn around and say, these are the opportunities to enhance where we are. It is one of the reasons why I've evolved into the trainer that I have become. It is one of the reasons why I am working with a producer and director now to get the funding in place so that I can create more training videos that are, one, up to date, and more diverse and inclusive of families, because that has been mm-hmm. one of the constants on all of my evaluation. When they ask about the training materials, they say the videos are outdated, the videos are antiquated, the content is, you know, and I have to say, oh, well, they don't do it like that anymore, but this is a video from 1989, or this is a video from 2006, or not to say I have any videos from 1989, but no, but some of the images from one of the videos that I show is Penny Simkin in her early years. I mean, she's literally, well, I think that probably is from the 80s, one of the images. And so, again, yeah. So again, when you look at it and you see stuff that's, you know, have images from 30-year, clips from 30 years old, that are 30 years old, that is definitely an eye-opener. So we have to be mindful of the evaluations that we give. If you just look at the evaluation, and you just, because I get them all the time. I get an evaluation, and they circle 5, 5, 5, 5, 5 all the way down. Excellent, excellent. Great, great, great. And then I have people that take time to read the actual question, and then they actually rate it, and then they actually go in and they give some feedback. That helps me grow. I think I'm a great trainer, but there are some ways for me to be exceptional. I think I'm a great childbirth educator. There are ways for me to become exceptional, for me to stand out, and for me to do things a little bit differently or evolve into a better opportunity. That happens when we get that feedback and we're open to the knowledge that other people are saying, this is what I'm gaining, this is what I'm not gaining, this is what I need, this is what I don't need. This is the reason why Don't International has evolved as an organization. This is the reason why there's a lot of changes going on and things are being shaken and stirred and pressed down so that the opportunities can run over. Those of you guys from the old church caught that. Anyways, that is necessary for us to be able to grow, to get to the next level. And that's what we want. We want next-level opportunities, next-level service, next-level training to be available no matter where a person chooses to train and who they choose to train with. They realize and recognize these components exist within the training that I'm receiving. If it's not from this particular person, I can get it from that particular person. And then they know I got what I need to get started, and all I have to do now is build my confidence, my faith in myself, my understanding of my community, and I can go out here and serve on another level. That's what I focus on. That's what I aim on. I aim for, and that's what I think good doula training should sustain in our community.
Absolutely. And Nikia and I talked about this on our private phone conversation. You know, when you step out there as a doula and you've had your classes and you've got some births under your belt, it's okay to grow into your practice. The first couple of years, I didn't take a spinning babies training. I didn't take a Rebozo training right away. I was really getting used to being on call. What does the birth look like at 2 a.m. in the morning at the L&D? All those things that was really different from my corporate America experience as a high-risk pregnancy case manager. So I did not come out the gate taking, as far as I'm concerned, the more advanced classes. I allowed myself to grow into my practice. I can't tell you how many times I have revised my contract, because as I grew, so did my contract. as far as my doula services, my doula contract. And I've kept them from the very first one to the one that I have now for 2019. And the evolution is astounding. From when I first started back in 2014 till now, it has really changed. And if you want to see how you've grown, go back into your earlier paperwork and see how you first started out and where you are now. It's a really great weight of scope to look at yourself and look at how your practice is growing, because you should be growing. You should not be sitting here saying, oh, I'm a doula 10 years. You know, I don't need to take any classes, any training or anything. I've been there, done that, seen it all. Yeah. I did that back in, you know, 1980, whatever. I've done that. No, you should always be open to learning and taking a training, because it does help you evolve and grow. And that's what I really and truly hope that you all are doing out here, is that you are evolving, you are growing, you are building your network of peers that work right alongside of you, and you are selecting some really awesome mentors. Part of the education practice here is the mentorship side. Now, Nikia is going to speak about this a little bit for us here now, because I can't imagine a trainer's life as far as traveling, doing these trainings, setting up everything for the training. That itself takes a lot of work with all the handouts and the material, and then being accessible to her students for any kind of mentorship, guidance, questions, crisis, whatever. That's a lot.
So, Nakia, could you speak on that as a doula trainer? What happens with the mentorship side?
I think it's important that if you, you know, if you look to take a training, one of the things that you ask is, you know, is the trainer going to be accessible to me once this training is completed? Will I be able to pick up the phone and call you? Will I be able to message you on social media? Will I be able to, you know, ask you some very specifics about what I need to do to grow and develop into, you know, a better doula? So those are really super duper important, conversations that an individual needs to have before she takes a particular trainer. He takes a particular training with a specific either organization or trainer in particular. And so that's one of the things that, again, I pride myself on. I pride myself on being available, accessible, and connecting with the individuals who seek me as their doula trainer. So not only are they seeking Donna International for what it has to offer in terms of the doula industry, but they have a certain level of trust and investment that they're making in me as a person when it comes down to knowing that after they leave my training, they're not in it by themselves. I have a group on Facebook for those individuals who I have trained who are either interested in going on through the certification process or just want to stay connected so that they understand what it is that they have access to. When they are here locally, I have a community-based doula group for those individuals who want to work in conjunction with my nonprofit organization. So when I have families who reach out to me for affordable doula care, I refer those to the individuals who are part of the network that I've trained. So not only do they get an opportunity to gain some revenue for their skill sets, they're gaining skills. They're engaging with different families in the community. They're engaging with different professions in the community, and they have the opportunity to get mentored by me. There have been times when I have gotten calls in the middle of the night from doulas who are at a birth in the hospital, 2, 3, or 4 o'clock right. in the morning, to ask me about situations and circumstances that are going on with the families that they're serving, and they need some insight. Well, they're looking for that insight from their doula training. And the reason why I mm-hmm. make myself available is because they've made an investment in me. And so if your right. trainer feels as though by you attending that training with them, you've made an investment in them as well as the organization or the training, then you've set yourself up for a much greater opportunity to become a very competent doula, a very connected doula. Because of that, it puts you in even right. better situation when that happens.
Yeah, and that's phenomenal, Nakia, because as I said, with my doula training, I did not have that with my doula trainer. I did not have that. And that relationship was never uptaken. It was never really fostered into anything where I could go back to her and do that. So what I was able to do was I was able to get out here and do the work. I was able to get out here and do the diligence and find myself some help in a hurry. I did. And yes. I met this fantastic, fantastic doula upstate. Her name is Maraday, one of the loves of my life. And when I first started, she was like, oh, yeah. And she laughed and we talked, and this Latina really just gave me what I needed, and it was very, very helpful. And to this day, we still keep in touch. Great love, great respect. And if it wasn't for her, I would have been out here in the dark, really. And as a woman of color, that is something that we cannot allow to happen. So what I've done is I have started up the Bold mentorship membership for 2019. It's kicking off next month. So that's going to be on social media if anybody would like to join the mentorship program. We have a secret group on Facebook. And I really mentor a lot of upcoming doulas because it's necessary, and especially doulas of color, it is necessary. And what I want doulas to understand out here is the same fear-mongering that's happening with our clients. I had two clients call me today in tears, leaving their prenatal visit because they've been scared out of their minds what the OB is saying to them. That same fear that our clients are exposed to, doulas are exposed to it too. Okay? So it's really, yeah. really important that you have that mentorship, you have that guidance, you have that support. It's a reciprocal process. The support we give to the client is the same support that we get as a doula. And I Definitely. Can't tell you, when I stumbled upon Nakia, and so you think you want to be a doula page, of all places, and there was this big conversation that day, and I said, you know, I don't want to say anything. I'm going to step back. And here comes this person who says, don't step back, step out. And I looked at this person like, who the hell is Nakia? Well, that changed everything that day. Because from her telling me, don't step back, step out, she validated me. She validated and saved my space so I could grow into that person and be very, very, very confident. And ever since then, we've been friends ever since. She lives in Texas. I live in New York. We have a great relationship. We talk several times a week, hours at a time, whatever. We talk through whatever, nails, getting nails done, blood, whatever. We do it all. But I still have to say to you, it's important to have those relationships. You cannot be out here as a doula thinking you can do this stuff alone. Doula training is an evolutionary process. It is a growth. You are supposed to go through growing pains. You are supposed to tank and fuck up every now and then. You're supposed to miss a birth. You're supposed to sleep through the alarm. These things are going to happen because you're going to grow through them. And through that growth, you'll say, oh, I'm going to devise a better system. So that doesn't
And if you're doing the work, you're going to experience, but if you're doing the work, you're going to experience those things anyway. The missing of a birth and the development and all that. If you're doing the work and you're out here actually serving families, those things are going to be situations that may be a part of your journey, you know. And people always ask, in all your years of service, and like I said, I've served hundreds of families, I've only missed one birth. In all of my years and hundreds of families that I've served, I've only missed one. But all it took for me to do was to miss one. All it took for me to do was to miss one to realize and recognize I need to do something different. And again, this is one of the reasons why I find that in-person doula trainings or cohort doula trainings are so much more effective than those individuals who silo themselves in an online training with modules in a home study course. You don't build those relationships. You don't build those connections. You can't build that sisterhood or brotherhood with individuals if you don't engage with individuals. And so if you're doing a home study course and it's just you and a computer, it's just you and a module at a time, then and you're not learning the concept of engaging in your community, or you took that particular training because you don't work well with people. It baffles me when I run into people who are extreme introverts who do not want to put themselves out in the community, but yet they want to build a lucrative birth business. It's like, you do realize that the work we do involves interacting and engaging with people. So many people find themselves stepping outside of their introverted personality when they become a doula, and it starts with their training. And so for many of them who are taking online trainings because they have a fear of engaging and interacting with people in a group setting, they find themselves it's harder for them to step out into it as a business. It's harder for them to engage clients and interact one-on-one because they didn't kind of learn how to get those kinks out in training with everybody who's trying to do it all at the same time, and they're all trying to learn at the same pace. So you start out, everybody's at square one, taking the training, whether they've had extensive training before or taking it for the very, very first time. They're all starting there learning a new particular way with a new particular organization and with that particular training. So they're all starting at the same time. Now, the pace that they typically take it on, based on their personality, that's something totally different. But that interaction and that engagement with other individuals helps develop some of those, some of those strengths or some of those weaknesses. If you're weak and you find someone else in a network where they're strong in those areas, you can engage a lot better. You can grow from there.
Absolutely.
And I'm real big on building relationships. And it starts, it starts with your doula training.
Absolutely. And if you want to really have a good snapshot of what Nakia is saying, think about one of those sorority lines. I'm not a soror at all, but I'm just imagining this. You know, because for my doula training, I do not have any recall of the other four women that I sat in that room with for 3 days. No recall at all. Don't remember their names. Don't remember what they look like. If they see me on the street, there's no recall. Because the doula trainer did not foster that relationship in her training.
Right.
She did not say, hey, guys, get out a list of paper and share your names and numbers now, because you're going to be calling each other. You're going to be talking things out. She didn't do that. Okay? So that's what's also really, really important, because growing up with those people, that could have been a lifelong bond. Hey, yeah, 10 years ago, we took that doula training together, girl. Wasn't that something? You know, those are the type of relationships that really build and help you to grow. But if your doula trainer does not promote that, it doesn't happen for you.
Right.
So that's why it's so sneak to get something like that. And those relationships really are important. Do not take them for granted. They really and truly are so very important to have. So this has been an amazing show. I'm just looking here. The switchboard, Nakia, is filled to the brim as always. We had some great chats and some really nice people saying some really cool things here in the event page. Just really, really nice. They've said some really wonderful things. Asanta is saying that she still depends on her doula sisters that she trained with. It's really like being on a Sora line or being part of a group when you go into the military. You start off, like Nakia said, with this group of people, and you grow together, and you're all trying to figure it out together in the room. You know, you're all going through this stuff together, and that really is one of those bonding experiences. It was just really my life journey. My first birth as a doula was a VBAC with the baby born in Nepal. That was my first birth as a doula. And I'm standing there like, holy cow, you know, because I'm having flashbacks with my grandmother, of course, and all the southern stuff going through my head 50 miles an hour. And this young girl comes up to me and says, hey, you want an encapsulated placenta? Come to my house. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, okay. So off we drive. You know, I lived upstate at the time. In the black dark of night, we go into her house, and we're encapsulating placenta. Long story short, she and I are still good friends up to this day because of that bond that just clicked out of nowhere. And I just said, okay, let's do this. And there's nothing more magical than a group of women working together. You ever see that happen? You ever just, it's just one of those wonderful, cool things when everybody's working in sync. I just love that shit. Anyway, I could go on for hours. I just love it. So, yeah, we have some really cool things that are being said here in the event page here on Facebook. Let's just see what they're saying here. Nakia is encouraging everyone to please share their thoughts there on the event page, because even after the call is over, we will definitely respond to your questions and concerns there on that event page. It's a great tool to use. And a lot of you are saying here, you know, some really nice things here on the event page, so thank you so much. Monique Garner Weeks is with us. Mariday is here. Yay, I love me some Mariday. So just really some really good stuff. So I'm going to open up the switchboard before we go. So if anybody has any questions or comments that they would like to share on the show before we leave, don't forget, Nakia is an international business expert, mentor, and coach, doula trainer. So here's a great opportunity for you to have her ear for a couple of minutes. I strongly recommend, if anybody has any questions, please, you're on the air. The lines are open. Anyone have a question or a comment? Anybody have a question or comment? The lines are wide open. No questions or comments from Nakia or myself.
Awesome. Well, it's always good, because when we have so much to share, you know, I ask a lot of people when I do presentations and or I do a training, or someone hires me to come in and do a segment of a training, I find myself asking the questions over and over again. Someone's phone is got a lot of background noise. You have to probably want to mute.
Yeah, I'm muting everybody again now.
So I find it when, you know, when I have these opportunities to share with groups, and I say, does anybody have any questions? Anybody have any comments? Most people are just taking it all in so much, because one, it may be the first time that they've ever even heard this type of information. It's something that so totally resonates with them that has been missed on so many levels, and the conversations aren't being had, or someone is actually saying what they've been thinking for the longest time, and they can't believe that it's actually being said. And so they're so struck on that, and they're holding on to that, that it definitely can be a moment where it's like,
I just don't know what to say right now in the moment, but it'll come to me. If it comes to you, I put a little comment on there. Please share your time because we love hearing from you. Denise and I definitely love it when the archived conversations that she and I have and her other shows that are archived on her Blog Talk Radio show are actually listened to after the fact. I've had people who have listened to the branded conversation that have reached out to me and said, okay, I want to find out what it's going to take to mentor with you and to, for you to coach me, because what you said, I didn't even have a clue that I was missing that part of my business. So that type of stuff happens when in the moment you're feeling like this is a lot to say. I don't want to say it. I don't want to embarrass myself. Or I don't want to prolong the show. You want to hear from the two of us. We still love hearing from you. We love hearing from you in the moment. We love hearing from you after the fact. It really does help us. It gives us, again, that honest feedback, that evaluation of an opportunity for us to go back and refine what it is and how it is that we do what we do. We do that when we hear from you all, when we know that you're listening to us, when we know that you want us to step up to the plate and be better about whatever it is that we're sharing on. So thank you so, so much. I appreciate every single person that takes the time to listen to these calls, to go back and listen to them on the archive. And for those individuals who reach out to me one-on-one in my inbox on my cell phone, people know they can pick up the phone and call me at 817-231-2672, and they'll get a chance to talk to me. They can send me a text message, and they'll get a response from me, because I don't mind putting my – it is the work that I do. It is the work that I was called to do. It is the work that I love doing. I love training individuals to prepare for their journey in the birth space. I love to coach individuals so that they can grow and build themselves to the next level in business or in ministry or in community. You know, I love this work, and I am so grateful that I have this platform to share what it is God called me to do.
Yes. So thank you so very much. Nakia, you've always been more than a friend to me. You know exactly what you are to me, because I tell you that quite often. I do love the fact that we talk and we share so many things together, and it has turned into something like this that could actually help so many other people. I think that's a blessing all unto itself. I'm absolutely thrilled when I meet people and I say, oh, my God, you're Denise Bowles. I listen to your podcast. And they rattle off stuff, you know, that they just memorize. It's just – it's really amazing that something that I can do for under $400 a year is actually helping so many people. These shows are archived for free. You can listen to them 24/7. I don't charge anything. All of my special guests come on and volunteer for free. These are some amazing people. Nakia is one of them. On Friday, January 25th, I'm doing a show on community doula work, and Tia Dowling is coming on the show. Tia is this amazing community doula. She's got so much great information to share and to break up a lot of the myths and stereotypes around community doula work. So I can't wait for Friday to come so I can have her on the show. These shows are really meant to embrace all of you and to empower all of you. I'm looking here on the event page, Asanta Wagner. She says, not a question, but I really appreciate hearing that I don't have to keep trying to get class after class right now. I've only done this for 4 years, and the pressure I put on myself to increase the training has been immense. I feel like I can take a breath. That means the world.
Yeah.
You know, that I could save someone and empower another woman. That's what I was put here to do. My ancestors are always coming around me and just so proud, and I'm so happy to do this work with amazing people like Nakia and all the other guests I've had on the shows. Please go back to the shows here on Blog Talk Radio and listen to them for free. They're still relative. Nakia and I have been doing this, I think, since 2015. They're still pretty relative. We've been doing this for a while on everything on how to start your own business. We've talked about some very provocative topics at the time. We talked about prints. We've had some fun shows. We've had some very serious shows. We've had shows that make you do the work. But they've all been done in love. And I just really feel that over the years our shows have grown also, and that also says a lot about the work that we're doing. So I'm so grateful to all of you for listening to the shows. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing that is here, and I will continue to do this for as long as I possibly can. And for Black History Month, I can't tell you the great shows I have lined up already for you guys. It's going to be kick-ass awesome. I'm so enthused. And I know one day Oprah's going to call me or, you know, some celebrity's going to say, hey, we've got to do some more work with these shows that you're doing here, Denise, you know. So it's just a matter of time. It's going to happen. But anyway, we're going to have some really good kick-ass shows coming up here for Black History Month. We're going to have Nakia back on in Black History Month because she is the new membership director for the Southwest and International, for Don International. So she is doing some really great things to talk about leadership and membership and what that means, her and my beloved Tanya Daniels. So they're going to come on the show, and they're going to really talk. And these are two African-American women who are new board members, leadership on Dona International. So this is the year. We're going to have a really great show with that. These two Southern belles are going to talk in their Southern accents, and I'm going to be so happy to listen to them the whole time. I just love it. So anyway,
if we come
thank
with
you
our
all.
Twang.
I know. So thank you all so very, very much for being on the show and just listening so much. It's just really, really wonderful. The other show we did the other night with Lindsay Bliss was absolutely fantastic. I hope all of you really, really enjoyed that about, you know, expectations. It was fantastic. That was one of my growing moments when I did that show. I grew a little more as a doula. When my client revealed to me that I, the doula, I am the only constant factor in her support and in her birth. Mm-hmm. That was an eye-opener for me. And that is what I wanted to share with all of you, that we have a purpose. And to devalue it by saying we're in training or low cost, I'm not accepting that, and neither should any of you, because we have a service, we have a support that is absolutely priceless, and that's just how I feel about doula support services. I'm very dedicated to doula work. I'm very dedicated to the organizations that are really out here doing the work, and I'm just so very grateful. So thank you all for being on the show tonight. It has been absolutely fantastic. We had a great time. Please go back to the event page and just, you know, talk and post things in here. I've got people still posting now, which is great. This is just really, really good. Doula Tony Rose is thanking us and saying that we brought up so many great points. Of course, Mara Day put up a picture of Oprah for me because she's got that great sense of humor and just thanking us too. So thank you all so much for being on the show. It is an honor and a privilege. And once again, Nakia, thank you so much for bringing your wisdom and your kindness and your energy to the show again. It's always awesome having you as my co-pilot on the show. So thanks again, my love.
Thank you. Always, it's always a blessing for me to be here and to share with each and every single person who takes the time to listen what it is that I could offer. And again, I'm sharing with you all my contact information on the event page so you can reach out to me. If you have any questions, if you want to host a training, if you would like to find out more about mentoring and or coaching services that I offer, again, I make myself as accessible as I can to make it as easy as I can for everybody to get to the next level.
Awesome. Absolutely awesome. So the show is coming to a close. The Bold Doula Mentorship is coming up here. The membership is going to be open starting here in February. And if you would like to join, the information will be on social media. So please look for that. It'll be very, very affordable. It is a monthly membership. It is very, very affordable. You will be able to do it. And you will be working with me and a lot of other doulas. And we're going to have a great time growing and empowering one another. So thank you once again for listening to the show tonight. Come back again on Friday, January 25th. Where we're going to have a powerful show on community doula work. I'm Denise Bowles. I'm your producer and host. Thank you once again, and have a wonderful evening in the doula spirit.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.